The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Thank you for joining us here on the Frank Sontag Show. When my son of a few years ago recorded that, it didn't seem applicable, and now today it kind of does in a very interesting way. Welcome to the program. We're here every weekday afternoon. We begin with our impact segments, 20-plus minutes of uninterrupted dialogue and discussion. If you were with us last week, any of the days, you know that at 3 o'clock every day, we are going to pray on the air for the, well, for now and to the not-too-distant future. And just, I've shared prayers on the air. We've had a number of other people. And over the weekend, I reached out to one of my dear friends who is the senior pastor of Cottonwood Church in Los Alamitos. You may have seen him over the years, answers with Bayless Conley on television. He is syndicated all throughout the world, has written a number of books. And we're also going to share some time with Bayless and talk about these times we live. Pastor Bayless Conley, welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show.
Hi, Frank. So good to be with you.
Always good to hear your voice. I know you're well. I follow you on Instagram, and I'll say it publicly. I envy your little cookouts with all them sweet things from the sea. They look so good when you do that.
Well, I call that my saltwater therapy. Sort of keeps me at even keel. I like to get out in the ocean and get some exercise. It can't be reached on a mobile phone there.
Bayless, thank you for coming on. I want to share your thoughts with what we find ourselves in, but could you open in prayer, as so many have done, and thank you for spending time with us.
Yeah, no, I'm happy to open in prayer, and for those that are listening right now, I would encourage you just to let your heart join with ours as we bring these people before God. Heavenly Father, we just right now come before you. We know that your ears are open to our cry, and the prayer changes things. And Father, we do pray for our president, for his family, for all of the governing officials, be they federal, state, or local. We ask you to protect them and to give them wisdom, Heavenly Father, in these critical days. Lord, we pray for the first responders and all those who are out on the front edge of this thing, that are exposed in ways that everyone else isn't exposed. We pray for divine protection for them. We ask you to give them wisdom. And Lord, I pray specifically for the pastors and for the ministers during this time. So many were not prepared to deal with this, didn't have the technologies in place, and they're scrambling to try and take care of their flock. God, we pray grace and peace for their hearts. We pray unity for their staff, for their teams. We pray that your church would flourish during this hour in the name of Jesus. Father, we pray that you would meet every need of these churches, as so many businesses have not been able to operate. Even so, the local church is sustained by the generosity of your people. We pray that it would be sustained during this time. We pray that you give your ministers health and that you would bless your people. Lord, you said in your word that you do make a difference, even as you did in the land of Egypt, between those that know you and those that don't. And God, we pray that health and strength would be the lot of your people. And in your grace and love, would you use them to reach out to those around you with the love and the strength that you give. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Bayless Conley is my guest. Bayless, how long have you been in the pastoral ministry? How many years have you been doing this?
Oh, well, we began our church, my wife and I started it, in August of 1983. So we're coming up on 38 years, and then I was an assistant pastor for a few years before that in another church. But Cottonwood's been around almost four decades now.
And in those nearly four decades of what we find ourselves in, and obviously we want to talk a bit about the realities of what we're facing, but I'm ever more so interested in the spiritual overtones of how we find ourselves in these challenging times. And maybe for many of us, we are forced to be with ourselves maybe for the first time in a long time. Share your thoughts, if you will, about how this situation has maybe not only challenged you, but you have found encouragement in your ever more so relationship with God and His Word.
Well, I think from a natural standpoint that people are realizing everything they filled their life with, everything they depended on, has sort of been stripped away. Mm-hmm. And for the believer, we're sort of stripped back to the point where we realize that Jesus is enough and that He needs to be our central focus. And during these times, and hopefully people are not just filling every moment with, you know, another television program or watching some other series. And in Psalm 46, God said, "Be still and know that I am God." There is a way to discover God in times of stillness and quiet that you won't find any other way. And honestly, Frank, I have had some fabulous times of just waiting on God and, you know, not going out and doing the things that I'd normally be doing. And it's been challenging as well to recognize how busy I've been, not just physically, but mentally. My mind's been filled with so many things where I should have been spending more of that time, you know, developing my relationship with God. Mm. So,
for the thousands listening right now that find themselves also challenged, what would you share with them? And then I do have a short follow-up to that along the lines of what may be to come, because we hear so much about it's going to get really bad and the worst is coming. We get this information over and over suggested to us in the mainstream. What about the right here and now? What would you share with the listeners?
Well, I think I have probably been impacted by some of the truth that David wrote in Psalm 46 more than anything else. It's where he said, "God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, even though the earth be removed and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea." He said, we won't fear though the earth be removed. In other words, that which we just assumed was going to be supporting us, if it's suddenly gone. And that's sort of what's happened. I mean, everything that we assumed was supporting us, it's been taken out from under our feet. From, you know, some people in the arena of health, other people, their job, how do I pay my rent, what about my retirement, all of these things that they just assumed were going to be there, even church as we always, you know, had it, and suddenly we're not doing church how we did anymore, and everything's been removed. And he said, even though the mountains are carried in the midst of the sea. In other words, the things that we thought were immovable and absolutely stable, if they're suddenly, you know, no longer there, here's God's word to us. God's our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear. And he's not just present as a spectator, Frank. He is very present to help us. And I think in this time, God wants the people that are listening, He wants His people to turn their eyes toward Him and to realize that He is our refuge. He is our strength. And when we think about how big and how strong He is and get our focus there, it changes things. Sort of like the disciples in the storm in the boat, you know, they woke Jesus up. They said, "Look, we're going to die." And He said, "Where's your faith?" And he calmed the storm and they said, "Who the heck is this in our boat? He can even cause the wind and the waves to lay down." And I think we just need to remember who's in our boat, Frank. Mm. It's the Creator. It's the sustainer of life. It's the one who spans the heavens with the palm of His hand, and He hasn't lost any of His ability. He hasn't lost any of His authority, and He certainly hasn't lost our address. Mm. So I just think it's a time people really need to turn their hearts on Him and find out that He is enough.
Yeah. Bayless Conley is my guest. Bayless, is there any benefit or merit in those of us that profess faith in Christ to acknowledge? That's a little scary, too.
I'm not sure exactly, you know, what you mean by that. If you would maybe phrase that in a different way for me.
Please. Sure, sure. Some of us have sensed fear, whether it is, as you alluded to, maybe the sense of loss or what is to come. Others of us maybe, I hesitate to even use the words, I guess the context would be, I think there's such a thing as real fear and neurotic fear. And I know we're called as Christians not to have a spirit of fear. That's not God. But is it okay if some of us at least acknowledge this can be a little unnerving and yet God is in control?
Certainly. I mean, we wouldn't be human if we didn't. My wife and I have lots of conversations as well as I have had with friends and with team members. I just talked to a dear friend in New York today, pastors at an enormous church in Brooklyn. And he's in the hospital with COVID-19, and he just sent me a bit of a heart-wrenching text today. I mean, he made it through. He talked about how dark it was with so many people dying around him, and it was a bit touch and go for him. And he's out of the woods now, but there is certainly a reality here. It would be foolish to deny it. But I think, as you said, there's a difference maybe between, you know, being wise and being cautious and then being fearful, because the wrong kind of fear is contagious. I mean, even in Deuteronomy, God told, hey, look, tell the officers to tell the troops, if there's anybody among you that's afraid and faint-hearted, tell him to go home so that he won't make his fellow soldiers fearful, so that that fear won't contaminate the rest of the troops' hearts. I mean, God realized that fear was contagious. A bad way, to the point that he said, look, if you've got troops there that are afraid, send them home, because they'll make the whole army afraid. And so I think we need to guard our hearts against the wrong kind of fear, and that has to do with us focusing on the right things. And I mean, if I spent all my time just listening to, you know, the latest negative statistic that's come out and the latest, you know, report, and I don't spend any time in God's book, then it will be not just hard, but impossible for me to walk in faith and to ward off fear. So I think we need to be wise, Frank, to answer your question, and we need to be current. I know what's going on. We're taking precautions as a family, but I'm not fearful, and my faith comes from spending time in the book and spending quiet time with God, and I want to spend more time doing that than I do, you know, on my iPad looking at the latest news feature.
Yeah, for sure. Bayless Conley is my guest. Bay, I hope that our connection stays well. You dropped out a little bit there, and, you know, the nature of things these days is understandable, but I'm praying that we can kind of sustain for the next 5 or 10 minutes. And
okay.
How are things at Cottonwood? I know that you've been gracious enough to my ministry. You've helped us host a number of KMG events. Technologically, you are one of the churches that have all of that in place. How has the adjustment been at Cottonwood for what we're facing?
Well, it's certainly been challenging, but as you said, we did have a lot of things in place. You know, we live stream all of our services anyway, and we've created daily video devotionals for people. We've got a service Wednesday night. We've got a Good Friday service. We have all the Easter services, and we've got, you know, worship in those. We have whole kids services. I mean, if people went to cottonwood.org, Frank, they can, you know, click on the services or on all of the resources that are there to listen to. But we got full kids services for early childhood, elementary, even for special needs, and they're completely interactive. And I think one of the challenges for churches is, even if you know, you can join a service online, it's not good for most of the kids. And so, you know, we've got stuff on there that they can actually click on and have a full interactive service for kids of every age, and they can, you know, watch the regular service on the big screen and then put an iPad or a computer up for the kids. And that's been good. So We've adjusted, and we're continuing to. We're adding tons of small groups. It's been actually a surprise, but I mean, you can go on and click and get involved in an online small group, and it seems like we're daily adding small groups out of necessity and having huge prayer meetings online. I mean, I joined a church prayer meeting with 280 people the other day.
Wow.
It was great. I've never done that online before, but it works.
Yeah.
It works.
We're getting reports that a lot of churches are experiencing online viewership like never before. Our friend Pastor Greg Laurie recently, I think yesterday, they said they had like 1.3 million people tune into one of the online services. And,
wow.
And I'm not really looking for anything in particular other than, you know, my prayer is, and anything you want to respond to that you pick up on me sharing, my prayer during this time is that God would move in a way that it's undeniably Him, where we would witness Him being God of the universe. Because I think in our society these days, and before all of this went down, we kind of think we're almost God-like. Not the church so much. I'm talking about secular culture, but... And you've been around the world. You hear about other cultures and developing nations. God moves undeniably. And yet here in the West, up until recently, we've been distracted. We're so busy. What about the idea of God moving in a way that it's undeniably Him?
Well, I think that's what God wants. And obviously, I think this is bringing a lot of people to their knees, church people. And non-church people, Frank. I mean, I've had conversations with some neighbors that have never happened before. And it seems to me that things are beginning to happen. And this is probably the best way that I could put it. It might seem a little odd. But it seems to me that the barrier between the spirit world and this earth realm is getting thinner and thinner. And I'm sure that's because of so many people praying, people realizing that they can't trust in the things they've trusted before. So,
what about this being Holy Week? And I woke up this morning in my devotional, and I was just struck by kind of the obvious. It's very interesting that we keep hearing all the prognostications from the media, and you've alluded to that this is going to be the worst week ever, and yet it struck me, this is Holy Week. This is a powerful week, spiritually speaking.
Yeah, Frank, it is. And, you know, the thing is, none of this has taken God by surprise.
Right. Now,
I'm not saying that God initiated it, but He uses everything. And His plan will be worked out. And I think on the other side of this, we're going to look back and we're going to see things and say, oh, my gosh, God, look what you have done. And, you know, my hope is that the name of Jesus be lifted high and not the name of any church, but Jesus. And He's what we need. We just honestly need to get back to a raw faith. And, you know, we've prayed for revival. I think we're ripe for it, Frank. I think we're absolutely ripe for it.
Mm. Bayless Conley is my guest. Bayless, one more question and then anything else that you may want to share as we close.
Okay.
The question would be twofold. I think many of us are, when we look to what is to come, we have all sorts of expectations or hopes or maybe even fears. So I'd like you to maybe address if there is even any benefit in what is to come. And also about this idea of, I've seen a lot of posts, I yearn for when things will get normal again. Do we ever want to go back to normal? So those are maybe two unique individual questions wrapped up in one.
Yeah, I think it's going to be a new normal. I'm not sure what that's going to look like. But I think it's really important for us as believers and as you know, Christ followers, that we need to be adaptable and flexible. Because if we're just thinking it's going to get, we just want the good old days.
Yep.
It's definitely, it's a new world now, and it's going to be a new world. I'm not sure what things are going to look like, but I want to say, God, here I am in the front of the line. I'm willing to be flexible and adaptable. Use me. And I think as well, you know, with myself and everyone else, how fragile life really is.
Yep.
And how brief and fleeting this earthly life truly is, that I want to, you know, I want to make this time count. You know, somebody said life is just vapor. It's true, but what a vapor it can be. Let's make a mark for Jesus while we have the opportunity to do so. And, I'm not sure what things are going to look like a month from now, 6 months from now, Frank, but I know that God's going to have a people, and those that are sold out to him, I think, are going to be used in a mighty way.
Mm. Bayless Conley is the senior pastor for Cottonwood Church in Los Alamitos. Cottonwood.org is their website. Answers with Bayless Conley is maybe a television program many of you have watched at one time or another. He's seen all over the world. Bay, I hope you know that I'm grateful for our friendship, and when you're always so willing at the drop of a hat to come on the program, you've always said yes. And anything you want to share, if you've got something you want to convey or is on your heart in closing, the airwaves are yours. And again, thank you for today.
Okay. Well, Frank, it's been a pleasure to be on and to chat with you. And, you know, I would really like to encourage people to get to know God, who's their Father, to spend time, to get on their knees and to open the book and just get back to a genuine, simple, raw faith in Jesus and to say, God, here I am, and I ask you to use me. And if I can, I wanted to plug something. You know, you mentioned our television broadcast, Frank, and honestly, we've done stuff here in the States, but 95% of what we've done over the last, and we've been doing this for more than a quarter of a century, 95% of what we do is international. We get on in regions around the world that don't have a Christian witness on the airwaves. We get on secular channels, and we actually dub the programs into the languages of the world. So we've got, you know, offices around the world, and We figure it's a missionary tool to reach people. And with that in mind, we actually secured a time slot just on Channel 9 here locally, KCAL Channel 9, at 1 p.m. for Easter Sunday.
Oh, wow.
And so I would like to encourage people that are listening to, you know, have their friends tune in. We've done this. We just thought there's going to be so many people. I mean, you look at the ratings with religious programs, and I'm sure with yours, things are spiking because people are looking for answers. And we just thought, what an opportunity to reach the millions of people in our beloved Southern California with the Easter message. And so we actually have our last year's Easter service. We're going to broadcast that at 1 p.m. This Sunday on KCAL Channel 9, just to reach people with the good news of Jesus Christ. And so if people can tune in or maybe let their neighbors know about that, it's just a great opportunity to reach somebody with the gospel.
We will definitely make it known through our media outlets and on this radio program and my personal stuff for sure this Sunday, 1 o'clock on KCAL Channel 9. It will be Easter with Bayless Conley and Cottonwood Church. I'm looking forward to watching, Bay. Sounds awesome.
Oh,
praise
great.
God.
Great. All right. Bless you, Frank.
Bless you too, brother. Thanks for today and more to come, Lord willing.
All righty.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. And more to come, Lord willing, in a matter of moments here on the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. My thanks again to Bayless Conley. He is the senior pastor of Cottonwood Church in Los Alamitos. If you have never visited Cottonwood, and Lord willing, the doors of many churches will be open in the not-too-distant future, you will be blessed also. Go online at cottonwood.org. We've been grateful with our relationship with Cottonwood. We've had, I believe, four KMG events there over the last four Augusts. And we're hoping this fall that we will be able to do a fifth one there. But that obviously is a little premature at this point. But Bayless is also author of a number of books. Google him. Download some of his books. He is definitely a blessing to so many. Another man that is a blessing to so many, and I share a lot of his information on my program, is Jim Dennison. His blog site is Dennison Forum on Truth and Culture. And let me just share with you what he posted today. This is Holy Week. And Jim writes, a Holy Monday invitation to the cleansing power of Jesus. Can we spend a few moments with our Lord? Jim Dennison writes, Vice President Mike Pence last night said, we are beginning to see the glimmers of progress in the fight to slow the spread of COVID-19 here in the United States and around the world. I watched the press conference and was also encouraged by Dr. Deborah Birx, the U.S. coronavirus coordinator. She reported on hopeful signs from Spain and Italy. She said, where we see finally new cases and deaths declining. She also said it's giving us hope of what our future could be. Dennison writes, all this because more people than ever are practicing social distancing. However, stay-at-home orders are also affecting many people in damaging ways. Some cities in China are reporting record-high divorce rates after stay-at-home orders are lifted. Pornography consumption here in the United States is up. Isolation is challenging those in recovery from other addictions as well. This Holy Week, Dennison writes, we will focus each day on what Jesus did that day on his way to Calvary and the resurrection. What does Holy Monday say to us as we are socially distancing on a level unprecedented in our lifetimes? Our Lord entered Jerusalem triumphantly on Palm Sunday yesterday, then spent the night in Bethany in Mark 11, verses 11 through 12. Today on Holy Monday, he cursed a barren fig tree as a symbol of the fruitless nation of Israel. And then in Mark 11, 15 through 18, an incident that I often sort, he drove the money changers from the temple. Then in Matthew 21, 14, the blind and the lame came to him in the temple and he healed them. In verse 15, he received the praise of the children, crying out in the temple, Hosanna to the Son of David. This at a cost of indignity to the chief priests and scribes, and then he went to the city and lodged. This is all in Matthew 21, verses 14 through 17. Dennison writes, let's focus today on Jesus' cleansing of the temple. Five financial functions took place there during Holy Week, each of which incurred our Lord's wrath. Now in Acts 2 through 5, and I began reading the book of Acts again last night, people came to Jerusalem for Passover. Acts 2 through 5 said, from every nation under heaven. Since there were no banks along the way, they had to bring the money they would need to finance their trip to Jerusalem and back. Some stayed in the holy city for 50 days until Pentecost, which made their trip even more expensive. Three financial functions were performed at the temple, which carry their own Greek designation but are translated into the same English term, money changers. Number one, foreign coins had to be changed into local currency, which was the function of the, boy, good luck on this. I'm gonna display my Greek not being so well. Koibistes, I think, the money changers of Matthew 21:12. Two, travelers would typically bring large denominations of money for ease of transport, which had to be converted into smaller coins. This was the function of the kermatistes, the money changers of John 2:4. By the way, I'm really excelling in my foreign languages, aren't I not? Oh, my gosh. I think of the way Old and New Testament, right, Hebrew, Greek, all of those that have spent endless hours, new translations and the meanings and some of the meanings that we miss just by reading, you know, our, praise God, our holy books now. But three, travelers would also store money at the temple. A service rendered by the trapezites, the money changers of Matthew 25:27. For the first two functions, the money changers typically charged a premium of 4 to 8%. Those acting as bankers paid interest at a fixed rate, though this was contrary to Jewish law. Four, those who came to the temple were required to pay a tribute of half a shekel according to the shekel of the sanctuary. Exodus 30:13 says this. This currency was used only at the temple. As a result, those who came to sacrifice had to exchange their currency for it. For each of these four functions, however, the money changers were charging exorbitant rates. Since those who came to the temple had no other option, they had to pay. They were forced to. And five, animals used for the sacrifice at the temple were required to be without blemish. Cross-reference Exodus 12:5. Since raising such animals and then transporting them all the way to Jerusalem was difficult for most, they chose to buy their sacrificial animal when they arrived. As you know, however, those who marketed such animals were charging unfair prices. Price gouging of 2,000 years ago, if you will. For these reasons, Jesus in Mark 11:15 began to drive out those who sold and those who bought in the temple. He explained in Mark 11:17, "Is it not written, 'My house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations,' but you have made it a den of robbers?" And then Jim Dennison puts two principles applicable to today in a transformational way. Jesus' cleansing of the temple teaches us, number one, our Lord knows our sins, whether others hold us accountable for them or not. The authorities allowed corruption by money changers and perhaps profited from them personally. But Jesus saw their sin and responded proactively to it. He now always sees our secret sins just as clearly today. And number two, Holy Monday was the second time Jesus had to cleanse the temple. You can cross-reference that in John 2:13-17. The corrupt merchants had been unwilling to repent, so he was forced to judge and punish them. By contrast, today, if we will admit the sins in our personal temple, if you will, he will cleanse us and forgive us. If we continue to seek his help, Jesus will continue to give us victory. Read 1 Corinthians 3:16. Finally, Jim Dennison writes, "I encourage you to make this time on this Holy Monday to get alone with Jesus. Ask him to bring to mind anything in your life that needs to be cleansed from your temple, if you will. And then confess all that comes to your thoughts and claim his forgiving grace. Ask him to help you cleanse your temple often. I'm convinced that one way our Lord wants to redeem the social distancing of these days is by using it to draw us closer to him than ever before. Who are the money changers in your temple today?" Jim Dennison writes at the Dennison Forum on Truth and Culture, "A thought that I had as I was reading that. I think for some, it's very difficult to be alone with yourself because pain sometimes can be a part of that experience. And yet I am just struck by each and every day when we face another day that the Lord has made and we give him praise and we are to call this joy. We don't know. Things seem to be ever more so uncertain, right? And turn off the media. Stop listening to the media. and open up God's word. Be alone with God. I loved what Bayless Conley said in the Impact segment. If you missed it, go to KKLA.com or KPRZ.com after and download the podcast. Bayless said, spend this time. Be intentional about your alone time with Jesus. Early on in my walk as a follower of Christ, it seemed like I was always repenting of things. It was a really interesting experience. It's like even the sins that I minimized before I became His, by the power of the Holy Spirit and conviction, I started being convicted more and more. And this is the word I may have for you. Early on for me, when I started to repent of maybe even some of the same sins, I tended to wince a little bit, and then I found myself almost not doing that anymore. Please stay with me. I think this is important. And it dawned on me one day, why am I resisting repenting? And I noticed there was kind of a track in my mind going, here you go again. Oh, you're really going to ask for forgiveness again? Oh, you're such a sham. And it dawned on me, oh my gosh, this was early on as a Christian, 10 years ago. Is that what I'm reading in the Bible? It's spiritual warfare? Where are those voices coming from? Now, I'm not here to say we need to be on our knees 24/7, constantly asking for forgiveness. God's a God of mercy and grace and forgiveness already. But I also think, and Dr. Dennison is onto something, that we need to cleanse our temple daily. I use this expression, repentance is a way of life for me. That doesn't mean I have to have any more or less buy into the guilt and the shame and, oh my gosh, I'm just so horrible. None of that. Just, Lord, forgive me of my sins, those that I'm aware of, even those that I'm not aware of. Right? And He's a forgiving God. And then you can say, Lord, by your power of your Holy Spirit, lead me today. What will you have me do today? Again, Bayless said it at the end. It was so powerful. How will you choose to be used by the Lord today? Talk about meaning in life. He gives us new life and new meaning every moment of every day. And my goodness, what a time to praise Him and give Him glory. We are in Holy Week. You are also welcome to call me anytime, email me. You're obviously more than willing to interact with me, and I say I'd love that. Email address always the same. Call-in numbers always the same. 888-528-2557. 888-528-2557. And we will continue with more this hour of the Frank Sontag Show next. Welcome back to the Frank Sontag Show. Tomorrow on the program in the 3 o'clock hour at the top of the hour, Pastor Philip DeCourcy will be my guest. Know the Truth can be heard every weekday morning on this radio station, and I invited Philip to share tomorrow at 3, open in prayer, and share his thoughts on the situation we find ourselves in. His church is Kindred Community Church in Anaheim Hills, and we are blessed to have Philip on this radio station, and he will be my guest tomorrow at 3. A bit more good news that you may or more likely will not hear in the mainstream. Daily smart thermometer data now suggests the United States stay-at-home orders may be flattening the pandemic's curve as fever rates have fallen nearly 80% below experts' predictions. That's right, 80% fewer Americans now have fevers than the experts predicted. Kinsa Health, a medical technology company based in the Bay Area, has been tracking daily fever readings on a map using data from smart thermometers connected to the internet. Today, data shows 2.86% of Americans were expected to have temperatures above 99 degrees during this time of year. The reality, just 0.65% actually do, which is a difference of about 77%. Experts say that map appears to show that strict social distance measures are helping to slow the spread and may even be stemming colds and the seasonal flu as well. KINSA has distributed more than 1 million thermometers, and they get about 162,000 temperature readings each and every day. The thermometers upload the temps to a database similar to the Apple iCloud, and users can add other symptoms into the app as well. Let me also share a word that is just my own perspective. And I've said this many times, but I'm going to be saying it many more times. Please be careful when we hear the prognostications of interpreted data from models. Okay, these obviously are just models and attempts to convey information. And there are people that have said, look, I'm reminded of Michael Levitt, a Nobel laureate, who said a couple of weeks ago, what they're saying in his view of expertise is not going to happen, quite the opposite. We may see this drop off quickly. Everybody has their take. And we do need to be responsible and take this seriously. If you watch some of the coronavirus conferences, and we hear from the World Health Organization or the CDC, these are expert, quote-unquote, by which we take what they share to heart, and it's very important. But I'm not one to really say this is the end all. And I mean, when we really spend time with it and think about it and pray about it, my Christian brother and sister, really, are we going to put God in a box? Or that we as humankind, we are God-like, that we can make these predictions and say, well, this is what is to come. I'll say again, I find it very interesting that we are ramping up. And again, I don't know the truth here, but we're ramping up. This is going to be the worst week ever. And you turn in the mainstream and you hear words like, it's going to spike or surge. You know, these words that are kind of, oh, I don't know, they elicit a whole reaction in me. But is that the truth? Like, we know what is to come? No, God can, in a millisecond, stop anything, change anything, do anything. And I think if ever there is a blessing in all of this, it's for us to just get on our knees and just stop for a moment and do as Dennison was talking about this cleansing of your own temple. Do a personal inventory. Get right with God. Cry out to Him. Repent to Him. And there may be somebody listening right now, you've never done that. My view is a follower of Jesus. God is completely sovereign. He is in complete control of all of this. We're promised in Romans 8:28, that He will use this all for the greater good for those that love Him. But this idea of the Bible is filled with references to beware of idolatry. All of these false idols that we've created, these false gods, be it in the sports realm or the media or, dare I say, in the scientific community, where we act as if they know. Their predictions are we can be rest assured this is the truth. Some of these are the same people that have brought us the climate change panic. It's very interesting. We don't hear much about such things these days, correct? But here's my point. Please hear my words. God is in control. Only He knows. If we can be certain of anything, it is that the future is uncertain. But God is absolutely sovereign and in control of everything. Put your faith and trust in Him. rest in him. Jesus said, my yoke is light. And please read scripture, open the Bible. This is the Frank Sontag Show. Gold Financial Group, Mike Cordova and everyone there. I just texted Mike a little while ago. They're open for business. Gold Financial Group, when we hear about everything that's going on, gold is up 30% all in all over the last year. I texted him, I'm going to make a small investment. Maybe you too. You can buy gold as little as $99. They have a free gold financial guide as well. Reach out to them at Gold Financial Group, 800-214-9023. 800-214-9023. And I don't even begin to spend any moment on what the market is doing. You know, some of you may have a 401k and have stocks. Do you have gold in your home and in your portfolio, if you will? Reach out to Gold Financial Group. They will answer any questions. No hidden agenda, no hard sales pitch. It's a call worth taking and making. 800-214-9023, 800-214-9023. Make that call. I promise you, you'll be glad you did.